Well, I can't begin to tell you what an honor it is to stand in this position where I spent so many years with the honor God bestowed upon me to preach to this congregation. This is a little emotional for me, well, maybe a little more than a little. I'm sorry. Just to see you, to be here, is the blessings of the Lord. And I would gladly be here, even if I wasn't scheduled to preach. And then to have my son and his wife, and my granddaughter and her husband, and my great-grandson finally great at something. I'll tell you, it's just wonderful. Thank you for inviting me, and I pray the Lord will bless us as we look into His Word. I do want to convey the love and greetings of our pastor and his wife, David Edmondson, Teresa. They send their love and their greetings. David and John have been corresponding and swapping bulletins, and so they have a relationship. Larry Brown sends his love. I don't think there's anyone here that was present when Larry visited us some 30 years ago now, I think. But he said, tell the folks hi. And I told him I would. And our two daughters, they grew up here, Shelley and Judine, and their husbands, and our grandchildren who've been here, they send their love and their greetings. And so I wanted to share with you that there's a lot of love and hearts back in Kentucky and Indiana and Tennessee who pray for this little church family here. I talked with Don and Shelby just before we left, and he was so remorseful that he could not be here. And I've known those two for a lot of years. And the word that I think of to describe them is addicted. They are addicted to the ministry of the Lord. And I know he meant it when he said, if it was at all possible, him and Shelby would be here. But something came up, so keep them in prayer, please. And I do want to thank the Lord Jesus for giving Judy and I a safe and uneventful trip out. It was a fast one. We flew by car. And there wasn't anything that went amiss. And my Lord's in control of everything, and so I give him all the praise and all the glory. Now, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. I know this is where Pastor Rick Warda was last night. It wasn't his text, but he referred to this passage that I want to share with you and use for my text. I preached this. I had the honor of preaching from this passage just before Christmas for Pastor Fred Evans, and he has a ministry just over the Indiana state line out of Louisville. I preached twice to his congregation, and he also has a ministry at a retirement home. He asked me if I would preach for those people because he didn't want them to lose interest. I said, I'll be honored. And that was in the afternoon. And I told them just before I started preaching that it's very important, and I want you to hear this, it's very important to turn a deaf ear to any preacher who cannot prove what they're saying from this holy book right here.
Amen.
Our Lord rebuked some unbelieving Jews by saying to them, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word." Now they heard the audible sound of his voice, but they didn't have ears of the heart. So they didn't believe him. Matter of fact, they hated him without a cause. I know it was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that our Lord Jesus suffered and bled and died for our sins. But it was by the determinate counsel that he allowed wicked men to do that to our Savior. That was all ordained. Here in Romans chapter 10, there is proof. And I want to share more proof from the scriptures that God distinguishes between his chosen blood-bought children and those who are not his sheep. I had two preachers years ago try to turn me away from Pastor Henry Mahan by saying to me, he believes in gospel regeneration. Well, I had never heard that term, and so I didn't debate with them, but they were trying to turn me away from a man who stood here for several years during our conferences that I just fell in love with. Fell in love with his preaching and fell in love with the gospel he preached. And it just didn't work. They didn't turn me away from him. Matter of fact, God turned me away from them. And our Lord Jesus tells us, if you believe me, believe my word. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God, is another passage of scripture that proves those unbelieving Jews did not believe him. Listen to Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As Pastor Warder brought out last night, there's a lot of truth that precedes that statement right there. And there's a lot of truth that follows that statement. We must hear the Lord. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And I told those folks over in that retirement home that according to this passage of Scripture, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we've already heard the gospel and we already have believed the gospel. How are we going to believe in him of whom we have not heard? We have to hear. Well, the voice of this hell-deserving preacher standing before you is not enough. I mean, it's important. God uses preachers and he uses the gospel as instruments to speak to the hearts of those Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for. And he's the one. Our Lord Jesus is the one who is seated on his sovereign throne of power, working all things after the counsel of his own will. That's what Sonny Dutra and I was talking about just a few moments ago. And that's gospel regeneration. I just asked Pastor Fortner just a few weeks ago, what do you think of the term gospel regeneration. He said, I don't have any problem with that. Well, we know it's the Holy Spirit who regenerates us. That word means give life. The Holy Spirit is God and He gives life. But it's under the preaching of His gospel. We must hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That's not an option. We must hear the voice of Jesus Christ. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know who he said that to? Some unbelieving Jews who would not believe he was the promised Messiah, would not believe that he is God. And he made a clear distinction between them and his sheep. He said to them, ye believe not because you're not my sheep. He didn't say you're not my sheep because you don't believe. He said, ye believe not because you're not my sheep. And so there was a distinction made between them and those who he calls his own, my sheep.
Amen.
We have to hear his voice speaking to the heart. And he's the only one that can do that. I wish I could. But then it would rob God of his glory. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And I mentioned earlier that he that is of God heareth God's words. And I gave those people at the retirement home this illustration. We learn about George Washington being our first president when we're in school. Our teachers teach us that. And they go right into the history books. And we can read biographies of that man. And we can learn a lot of things about him. But we don't know him. We've never heard his voice. But to know God, we must hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And folks, that's the only gospel that gives God all the glory is knowing who he is and knowing what he has done. We must know him. And we can know a lot of things about him. And sad to say, a lot of professing Christians, more than who are really Christians, know some facts about Christ, know some things about him, but don't know him. And we must know him. It's just that important. We must hear the voice of Jesus Christ, and we must believe the one true gospel of his amazing grace. Here in Galatians chapter 1, Paul, writing under divine inspiration, starting at verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. I'm going to deal with that, Lord willing, this evening. Then it says in verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then Paul says in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now Paul had established the churches in the Galatia area, and some Jews who professed to be followers of Christ, we call them Judaizers, they crept into the churches in that area and told those people who had heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul, had made a profession of faith, had embraced that truth, They listened to those unbelieving Jews who made this statement, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And Paul's rebuking them. And he tells them in verse 7, when he spoke of another gospel, he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now, that sounds pretty important to me. That's serious. Because there's only one gospel. And in Romans 11, the inspired word of God tells us that grace and works will not mix. You cannot believe in the grace of God bestowed upon his people through the merits of Christ alone and embrace something else as your hope of going to glory. It won't work. And you could put anything in that statement concerning salvation by Christ alone, through grace alone, by faith alone. You can put any kind of works in there, and it means the same thing. Let him be accursed. You're not going to heaven by getting baptized. You're not going to heaven by meeting on Saturday. You're not going to heaven by making a decision for Jesus. It's not your will. It's God's will. And nothing can stop God from doing what he has purposed. And we read in 2 Timothy 1:9 that God has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Our hope must be in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ. And under the preaching of his gospel, he sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Now we're talking about gospel regeneration. Look at Galatians chapter 3, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 3 and the first 3 verses. And remember, this is God's word. This is God's word. I'm not making this up. This is according to what God moved his writers of the New Testament and writers of the Old Testament to put on print for our learning. And he says, God says, through the Apostle Paul who's writing this, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Listen, there's nothing in us, that is, in our flesh, that's good. Nothing. Nothing. Paul said, after he had been converted on the Damascus Road, he said, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Now, I know that's true about the unregenerate man, but that's also true about the converted man. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. Christ in us is the only good. Any part of the flesh is an abomination to God. It's the Spirit working in us that delights God. He begins the work, and He's going to finish the work. Work kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And listen, right now, God is working in the hearts of His people. And when we die, we go to heaven. And the flesh did not contribute one thing to that.
Amen.
Not one thing. We still have that old nature, but we have a brand new nature. The old nature is called the Adamic nature. That's what we come into this world with. We were in Adam when He plunged the whole human race into condemnation. We don't become sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. But every child of God has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we can go to Him, cry out for forgiveness, and guess what He does? He forgives us. He promises to do that. God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. So it's God. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Go over with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 1. We need to know who Jesus Christ is. We need to know what He has done for His people. We need to know where He is right now. And we need to know that He's going to accomplish everything that He purposed to do in every day that's yet before us. And He's coming again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and who do not obey His glorious gospel. So we as preachers warn people. We warn you over and over and over. Run into the arms of Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. Like Darrell was singing, trust and obey. Let your trust be in Christ and only in Christ. Brethren, what a God to devise a plan of salvation in the way that He did, so that the responsibility is upon those who have never believed on Jesus Christ to embrace Him, yet He has devised it in such a way that Jesus Christ will receive all the glory for the salvation of His elect people. I know this world hates the doctrine of election. They say that's not fair. But whatever God does is fair.
That's right.
And it's right, because He does it. And we read in Romans chapter 9, speaking of Jacob and Esau, for the children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God I'm getting old, but I'll read it to you. For the children be not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody. Because God has removed our sins, as your pastor just stated a moment ago, from God's sight forever and remembers them against us no more. And here in Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll try to hurry, we read in verses 1 through 3, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and he did. While the Old Testament was being written, and even after the Old Testament was complete, and before the New Testament was written, the prophets of old said, "Thus saith the Lord." And guess what happened? If they were God's prophets, whatever they said concerning the Lord came to pass. And if it didn't, they were not true prophets, and they were killed. And those who didn't believe the prophets that God sent were turning a deaf ear to God. And that's serious. But he did speak in those olden times by the prophets. Verse 2 says, "In these last days he has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." So this is who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He is God, our sovereign creator. He spoke everything into existence by the word of his mouth. I know we know that, but did you ever give any thought to this? It was Jesus Christ who put the pretty color in the flowers, who put the sweet smell in them. But it was the same Jesus that put the stench in the skunk. Why did he do that? Because it pleased him. God does what pleases God. I used to be a hunter, and the most beautiful sight that I could see while I was hunting was a deer with big antlers, or an elk with big antlers. God created them, our Lord Jesus created them as graceful animals who could run through the brush, the thickets, and all the trees without touching them with their antlers. I don't know how they could do that. Just gracious. Graceful, rather. Then he also created the hippopotamus. Just a blundering bunch of flesh. And not very good to look at as far as beauty is concerned. Why did God make that difference? It pleased the Lord. And it pleased the Lord God our Father to bruise his Son. How did that please him? Because of what his Son accomplished when he poured out his unmitigated wrath on him. And it pleases God to reveal his Son in us. Now that's what Paul said back in Galatians. It pleased the Lord when he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. Now there's a difference in revealing Christ in us and revealing Christ to us. Both are true. But like I said from Romans chapter 10, God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts before we believe, before we call upon the name of the Lord. And so Jesus Christ is that God who created everything, who is on his throne in glory right now. Right now, you're here because he brought you here. And he's going to continue to rule over everything until that last one for whom Christ laid down his life is safely in his waiting arms. So that's who he is. But he's also our Savior. Look at verse 3. "Who being the brightness of his glory," Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory, "and the express image of his person." Now, if we deny that Jesus Christ is God, we cannot believe that. And that has nothing to do with his facial looks. That has nothing to do with this artist's conception of Jesus Christ. It looks more like Wild Bill Hickok or some long-haired hippie than anything. It has to do with his attributes. He's the express image of God. God is omnipotent, so is Jesus Christ. That's just the word that means all powerful. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Him. God is omniscient. That means He knows everything. Jesus Christ knows everything. He knows what's in your heart right now. He looks right down in the depths of the heart and knows what we're thinking. And brethren, that's not just in this little room. That's over the whole world. He knows everything, and He's omnipresent. He said, "Lo, I am with you always." I mean, He's everywhere at once, in the person of the Holy Spirit, of course, but it's still Christ. And this is what I'm saying. He's the express image of God. He upholds all things by the word of His power. I guess we could have flown, but we didn't, to get here, because He upholds all things by the word of His power. Wasn't you, Gladys, that this wouldn't fly? Because He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." That's L-O, not L-O-W. When He had. Now grab a hold of this and take it just as far as you want to. When He had by Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now what does that mean? When He had by Himself purged our sins, He was raised to glory. When He came out of the grave and showed Himself alive unto as many as 500 at once, He ascended to glory, and He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And that does not mean He's a lesser God than God the Father. That means Jesus Christ is God's strong right arm. Salvation is by His strong right arm, Jesus Christ. The stars are just the flicker of His fingers. He just said, "Phew." All those stars appeared by the word of His mouth. But salvation is by His strong right arm. And I'm telling you the truth on the authority of God's word. God will not share His glory with another. Nobody is going to rob God of His glory. And He's going to make sure that that's true. That first of all, by giving eternal life to those who were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, and those who were purchased by the blood of Christ. And finally, when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and He says to His chosen blood-bought children, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." When did we ever do anything to receive those words, "Well done"? In Christ.
Amen.
In Christ and only in Christ. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So God has highly exalted Him and set Him on His throne in glory, that He, Jesus Christ, His darling Son, would be the object of all worship and praise for all eternity, with a people who were purchased by Him because they were promised to Him by God the Father on the condition that He, by Himself, would purge our sins. They're gone, gone, gone. That does not give us a license to sin, and every child of God knows that. But as long as we're in this body of death, that's what we are. That's what we are in our nature, our Adamic nature. But we've been made partakers of the divine nature so that we believe God and what He says about us, what He says about Himself, what He says about the finished work of Christ. We believe that for the glory of the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. Thank you, Pastor. You
can. Amen, brother.